Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
This is my mom.
Am I going to get paid for this?
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air. That's how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, March 28th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up in hour number two, we're going to be joined by former Duke head basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski. Coach K will be with us to talk about his legendary Hall of Fame career, the importance of his Catholic faith in coaching, and serving as a mentor to countless young men over the years. Coach K coming up at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, unfortunately, we begin this morning with another mass school shooting in the headlines.
Yeah, very sad news. This happened a little after 10 a.m. Central Time in Nashville at a Christian school yesterday morning, not long after Morning Air, off the air, but six people killed there, three students: Evelyn DeCouse, who's 9, Hallie Scruggs, 9, William Kinney, 9, and three adults: Cynthia Peake, Catherine Kuntz, and Mike Hill, along with the shooter, all killed in that. So 7 lives lost altogether. Police took out the shooter inside the school within about 12 to 15 minutes after the shooting started. Being a private school, it didn't have a school resource officer, so not an armed police officer right on the scene, but cops got there pretty quickly, and you probably have seen those sad photos of kids, you know, running from there, being led away, the parents wondering what's going on, and very bad tragedy.
Glenn, we have seen this type of tragedy just too many times in recent years, and you just can't help but think, what kind of a deranged person would shoot 9-year-olds in cold blood? It's just absolutely unbelievable. What do we know about this shooter?
A 28-year-old woman, very rare for a woman to be involved in a mass shooting like this. Happened just a handful of times. She was 28, a former student at the school some years back. We've also got some more audio from the sheriff as well.
We feel that very strongly that she went to school here in the Nashville area, and she went to that actual school. There's some belief that there was some resentment for having to go to that school, and it indicates that there was going to be shootings at multiple locations, and the school was one of them. There was actually a map of the school, detail and surveillance, entry points, and how this was going to be carried out on this day.
And Glenn,
Police Chief Joe Drake there. Yeah,
I started to say, according to various news sources, this individual identified as transgender.
Yeah, so I suppose that's a first as far as we know in mass shootings as well.
What are they looking for in terms of this person's background, looking at the crime scene? What is the latest?
Well, they had a couple of assault weapons with them. As far as trying to find out a motive, that's something that's tough to do with the suspect dead. But folks really want to wonder why this happened.
Absolutely. And President Biden has ordered U.S. flags at the White House and all of the federal buildings to be flown at half staff in honor of the victims of Monday's school shooting in Nashville. That'll be in effect until this coming Friday at sunset. Also, once again, the president called on Congress to ban assault weapons. It seems that we hear this over and over and over, and yet these shootings continue.
Yeah, they do. Guns are readily available in America, and if you want to do bad things, you'll find a way, sadly.
It also appears that the school did everything correctly. They had a plan in place. The doors were locked, and yet this shooter literally shot through the windows to get into the building.
Yeah, shot out the windows and the doors and walked through. Yep.
Well, obviously, many people are praying for the families of all of these six victims in this horrific shooting, and all of us we have to unite ourselves to all those prayers and pray for just a very, very sad situation, Glenn.
Yeah, I want to hug those kids of ours even more closely, and you know, it's tough to those that are old enough to ask questions about it. It's kind of a tough subject to have to deal with, but there it is.
All right, as always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We always start every morning in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. And again, this morning, in a special way, we pray for all of the families involved in this horrific shooting in Nashville. We always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit this morning as we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And on Tuesdays, I always take a moment to remind you that we should pray to our guardian angel. Even though you can't see them, these heavenly companions are present with you. We should ask our guardian angel for help in our everyday lives. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. You can always send us an email directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. And now it's time for another Tech Tuesday.
Ready to assist you. Okay. Okay.
Well, the world of technology is always coming up with something so-called better, but that's not always the case. Last Thursday, the president of TikTok, Zhou Zichu, was grilled by Congress for nearly 6 hours concerning calls for an outright ban on the popular app in the U.S. with 150 million U.S. users. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley has had some very strong comments about TikTok.
This app is basically digital fentanyl. It is not designed to make our lives better. It is designed to disrupt. It is designed to get into our kids' head. As a parent of three little kids, I don't want my kids on TikTok. I'm scared to death of what they will find there. And that app is by design to get into our kids' head, by design to push this content to them. That's what they're doing here. That's why the Chinese government won't allow it. But they, of course, want Americans to use it, because they want to disrupt our society and they want a backdoor into everything that we're doing, everything that we're seeing, everywhere that we're going. That's what TikTok is.
And again, this is really not a political issue, as there's people on both sides of the aisle who are concerned about TikTok. The question is, how can we be prudent when we use this and other social media platforms? Joining us live for much more perspective is our tech expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, with more on the TikTok hearings on Capitol Hill and the use of prudence in all social media platforms. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20-plus years of technology, new product development experience. For all things faith and tech, you can follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us once again on another Tech Tuesday. It's great to be with you.
Good morning. It's great to be with you as well, John. I'm glad you mentioned how apolitical or non-political this issue is. It is about awareness and facts and prudence, right? So TikTok is a social media platform. It was the first to provide kind of this scroll of videos even before, let's even rewind the clock just a couple seconds here, John. There was actually an app developed here in the United States called Musical.ly. Musical.ly was an app that people used to lip sync to music and dance along to the music. Great popular app that was bought by a Chinese company called ByteDance and changed its name to TikTok. So what is at its foundation is still very popular. Whether TikTok gets banned or not, we all need to be aware that this style of social media is not going away. it's already seen very significant changes in YouTube. YouTube Shorts is essentially the TikTok inside of the Google ecosystem. And Facebook Reels. Facebook Reels is the TikTok inside of the Facebook ecosystem. All these platforms, social media platforms, have realized how sticky this style of social media truly is. It's fun. There's a lot of jokes and fun spoofs inside of TikTok, but there's also even some education, people sharing what they've learned, you know, cooking hacks and tips, household DIY projects. So let's be aware that there is a lot of content here in TikTok. And one of the things that we all find objectionable about TikTok is its algorithm. Whoever is in control of that algorithm, the algorithm itself that keeps you, your eyeballs glued to that platform, is the same kind of algorithm that has been pushed back by, you've seen people push back on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's the same style of algorithm that learns what you like and keeps you on that platform for as long as possible in order to retain your attention. So let's start there, right? TikTok is unique, right, in all of these social media platforms. The way TikTok is unique is that it, because its parent company is a Chinese company called ByteDance, the concern is different than these other platforms. There's a concern about how social media algorithms run. That is a concern for all of us on all of these platforms. In addition, there's one more concern that we have here in the United States of America, and that is Chinese companies are run differently. This is, again, not political. This is simple a fact. Even though you're a for-profit business, companies in the Chinese Communist government are connected to their government through local, state, and federal officials in their system. So the concern is that not only is there an algorithm keeping your eyeballs locked and loaded all day long, like other social media platforms, but at what point is our data? Here's where I wanted to really put a fine point on it, John. It's where our data is held, right? And the president of TikTok last week did his utmost to show that there is a plan to decouple U.S. users' data from the rest of TikTok users' data from around the world and have a storage system here in the United States. But it is clear that has not been done yet. So at this moment, TikTok data is not stored for U.S. users, is not stored in the United States.
And that is part of the concern. The other part of it is also the reality that by law, this company, ByteDance, based in China, is required to comply with requests by the Chinese Communist Party. So it doesn't matter what the president of TikTok says. They have to, by law, to make their data and their information available to the Chinese government. And I think that that is where the pushback is coming from both sides of the aisle and from so many people.
So true. So those two concerns, where is the data and who controls the algorithm, are the concerns to call out TikTok in a unique way. For us in prudence, what are some good, healthy Catholic guidelines for us to use as families on tools like this? It comes back to switching off location, making sure that your device's location is turned off so that you can't be geolocated by your data. But furthermore, screen time. There's so many studies out there that show based on age and maturity, screen time must be monitored by a family and not to exceed. I can't give you the entire table verbally over the air here, John, but there's good, prudent studies that show under the age of 13, more than 2 hours of screen time per day is a direct predictor of bad behavior and poor choices as a child matures.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I saw the findings of a very recent study that showed that among adults, they're involved with TikTok an average of about 57 minutes a day, almost an hour among adults. But among kids, the number is 99 minutes a day. So that is a ton of time of people in general and young kids in particular on TikTok.
Yeah, and who's to blame for those 99 minutes? I think it's both the family of the kid and the kid, right? The algorithm is powerful. The kid's gonna get locked in, so we should know that as the families that surround and love these kids, and help them to make really good, healthy mental health and spiritual health choices.
And it's interesting also that the Chinese government said that they strongly oppose a forced sale of TikTok, which is something that has been talked about. Do you think there's any chance that that's going to happen?
It's going to come down to either getting banned here in the U.S. or being split. And one of them, Chinese Communist government said, won't happen. So it'll end up very likely getting banned. But I just want to reinforce, John, what we said a few moments ago. There's nothing unique about TikTok in the way it presents short-form video compared to other platforms. If we're going to say that TikTok is bad because it locks in our kids' eyeballs, we definitely have to be honest and open about the other platforms that do the same.
Yeah, and I guess really at the end of the day, the biggest difference is those other platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they are not owned by Chinese companies, only TikTok.
That's right.
That's really the bottom line. I wanted to also here in the final moments talk about something that we have discussed about in the past, OpenAI and ChatGPT. Can you give us what's going on with the latest with ChatGPT?
Yeah, I wanted to call back to our previous discussion, John. If listeners want to learn more about the timeline and maturity of AI over the last 15 years. This isn't new, but it's definitely a hot topic, right? Generative AI, just real quickly, is the ability for machine learning algorithms to create something from prompts that we give it, okay? So there's been predictive AI and pattern recognition AI for years. What's new and unique about OpenAI and ChatGPT this week is its ability to turn the ChatGPT algorithm into a plugin. So it's now not just a novelty. Back in December, ChatGPT was made available. Hundreds of millions of people tried it all over the world for a variety of different uses, creation of essays, creation of images. But now it's a plugin that you can put in your browser and it can anticipate, it can learn from the way that you browse the internet. It can help generate prompts and anticipate and help you with tasks. So I say that this is a pivot for OpenAI. It's beyond a novelty. It's beyond a lab experiment. And now it's turning out products and tools that can be used by you and I for common tasks.
Mark, for those who may not be totally familiar with exactly what is a plugin, can you kind of explain how that relates to ChatGPT?
Yeah, the best example, John, for the common public would be Zoom. Not everyone has the Zoom application on their phone or on their laptop computer, but Zoom puts a plugin on your browser, either on your phone or your laptop, for you to perform teleconferencing functions inside of your internet browser. And that's done by a plugin. So plugins are a way, they're kind of apps, right? They're tools that can plug into another tool or application to enable certain functionality.
What are some examples of how we can make use of this new technology?
Well, there's some great uses for it, and such as assistance in generating drafts of essays, of analysis, business analysis, to try to find out, you know, who are the top five competitors for this particular product in this particular market segment. Mimicking a writer or an author in a certain style. But people in the education space are becoming more and more aware of those kinds of use cases and how to spot something that's been generated by OpenAI rather than something that's been uniquely generated by a student.
Mark, hasn't there been some discussion about the reality that as some of these technologies are very biased in the way that they're programmed, so that you go to the plugin, you use ChatGPT maybe to write an article, and yet it has a very biased perspective in terms of how it is programmed.
That's a very good point, John. That's almost another whole Tech Tuesday for us to cover that. ChatGPT itself is fed a very large quantity of data, And the questions that you feed it, it starts to make certain assumptions about the conversation itself and take on certain, it starts to limit the conversation. And those limiting decisions have been taught, right? This is like a student who's been taught a certain curriculum. So there have been flaws that have been detected in some of the content that ChatGPT has generated that indicate the way it's been taught. So we just need to be aware and prudent for its use, right? We have to be aware that it's not perfect information. It's not unlimited knowledge. It has been taught by the data set that it was provided.
I guess when I meant by, biased, I'm talking about biased in a very liberal perspective. In other words, conservative issues, conservative personalities, it won't even deal with it in some ways.
I'll have to do more research on that, John. I have heard those reports, but again, because of who taught it, right? OpenAI is a Silicon Valley startup. There's typical things that happen in Silicon Valley that have a bias towards one end of the political spectrum. So I'll do more research on that, and we'll cover it in a future Tech Tuesday.
Sounds great. Well, I appreciate, as always, your perspective and tech expertise. Thanks so much for being with us, Mark.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
God bless you, too. Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at GodLovesTech. We need to take a short break. When we come back, you'll hear my conversation with Aaron Berghaus, the producer and director and composer of a new film, Santiago, The Camino Within, which premieres today only in theaters nationwide. Stay with us. There's much more to come. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in, being with us on this Tuesday morning in the fifth week of Lent. I'm glad you could join us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can always find us on Twitter, our handle at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our email, if you want to reach us directly with your thoughts or any story ideas, morningair@relevantradio.com. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from John 17:20 and 21. Jesus the Lord prayed for his disciples, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus the Lord is the high priestly prayer for unity. In this prayer, he prayed that we may all be one like he and the Father are one, so that the world may believe that God the Father sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Now more than ever, we must pray for this visible unity with Christ and the church he founded, both the Eastern and the Western rites, with the Holy Father and the bishops of the world, under the protection of the Mother of God. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, you may have heard it here on Relevant Radio today, March 28th, a new documentary on the Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James, called Santiago, the Camino Within, is premiering in theaters nationwide. The Camino de Santiago is a well-traversed pilgrimage route dating back to medieval times. Legend recalls that the remains of the Christian apostle St. James the Great were mysteriously discovered at the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela in Spain, after having thought to be lost. For centuries, pilgrims have traveled the 500-mile route, also known as the Way of St. James, for spiritual reasons. Listen to part of the trailer from this new film, Santiago, the Camino Within, narrated by Bishop Donald Hine.
St. James speaks to us of the power of witness. Seeds planted by the apostles have taken root.
It's one of the few places that we can actually truly immerse ourselves in history.
It's about deeper intentions, thinking about our families and what about life is.
Great experience is all meant to be.
I recently spoke to the producer and director of Santiago, the Camino Within, international award-winning composer and producer Aaron Burkhaus, about this powerful film. Let me tell you a little bit about Aaron. With more than 80 film productions in the past decade, Aaron Burkhaus has made a remarkable impact on the music and faith-based film industry. She's the founder and president of Ahava Productions, an avant-garde nonprofit that creates films with the sole purpose of reaffirming the depth and the beauty of the Catholic faith. Here's the first part of my conversation with Aaron Burkhaus. Good morning, Aaron. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It has been an eternity since the last time we spoke.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, just a little heartbeat in between the last one, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I think we go all the way back to the early days of Morning Air, the last time I spoke to you, if my memory serves correct. We're about to celebrate 20 years coming up on April 21st since the launch of Morning Air. Can you believe it?
That is so wonderful. Congratulations. I mean, an apostolate that changes lives every day. So congratulations. That is no minor feat. That is a mountain climb. So congratulations on that. And yeah, it's been a few decades for us, for sure.
Well, Aaron, congratulations to you and your many accomplishments. Obviously, this new movie, which is coming up on March 28th, the trailer looks fantastic, and I'm sure the story will be very beautifully told. Can you tell us about your new movie, Santiago, The Camino Within?
Yeah, it's such a great blessing, really, to be involved in the project. As many of your listeners know, Bishop Donald Hine from Wisconsin, currently the bishop in Madison, Wisconsin, he is the narrator of the film. And really, he's so holy, John. He's able to take the viewer by the hand and walk them along the journey, the Camino. And really, it encompasses the pilgrim's life, our life, each one of us at a different place, at a different moment in time. And, you know, it's really a divine gift that Bishop Don has to be able to reach people where they're at And being involved in the film and the production of film is one of the greatest blessings of my life. We wrapped it during COVID. And so it's been a few years in the making. And the people that we met along the way, the beautiful people in Spain, to walk in the footsteps of St. James, who I really didn't know too much about the Camino at all when the Holy Spirit hijacked me. But one of the greatest blessings of my lifetime, and I'll be forever changed. And we just really hope that we can take viewers there to the Camino and bring them to that walk of St. James, which is so much surrounded by the love of Our Lady as well.
Well, it's a very special place, and you're extremely blessed to have His Excellency Bishop Donald Hine, who, by the way, is a regular contributor to Morning Air. He's with us on a regular basis, so we love having Bishop Hine on. In fact, he actually talked about this a while back when the idea was still in progress and you guys were working on it, and I can't help but think, how challenging was it to film really during the pandemic?
Well, we filmed before the pandemic, but we wrapped post-productions, which I know you're familiar with because you've been involved in film yourself. You know, we wrapped post-productions during during COVID. And so that in itself was so unique. And as you know, God just keeps on pursuing us, doesn't he? He never stops. And so it's only by his grace that everything is made possible. It just has so little to do with us. I mean, we really just surrender and work as hard as we can to serve him. And so he provided everything during the most difficult times of, I would say, of my life, you know, with the COVID and all production shut down. And what ended up happening in that perspective was that it became, like our faith, a very universal project. And so many of the musicians are from all over the world. We have developed brothers and sisters serving Christ in Ukraine, in Poland, in Italy. I mean, it was just as only God can do, right? Is only who could have ever foreseen how he just laid that out really on the path for us. And even the journey to Spain itself, it was grace. It was God. It was all him. We just, you know, work as hard as we can to keep up with the plan that he has for us to serve him.
Aaron, I'm curious, what was the genesis of the idea? Did somebody bring it to you? How did you decide to make a film on the Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James?
Well, I'm definitely going to say it wasn't my idea. So what was happening was we were in the middle of a 72 film series. It was 36 English, 36 Spanish, all correlating with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And so we were really smack dab in the middle of that, releasing two films a week. I was living in Detroit at the time. My husband had a position there. And I was actually just having conversations with God about how I wondered if that was maybe the last film project that he wanted me to serve him in. That was my conversation.
He's like, and, no way, Aaron, no way.
Well, you know what? I never know what tomorrow brings, and I'm very honestly, John, I'm a farmer. I'm so happy to dig in the ground. I'm a mother. I love my babies. I have grandchildren. So all of those things are equal to me. All that really matters is what does God want me to do on any given day? So I'm totally open to whatever that might be. And really, it was a serious conversation. And then what happened is I received an email that Bishop was going on the Camino pilgrimage, and it was seriously a Holy Spirit hijack moment. It was so drastic. There was no denying that it was from God, and it all really came together within about a week to 10 days on the funding and the development and the idea. It was not my idea.
For our listeners that may not realize the deep historical perspective that exists on the Apostle St. James and the reason why so many people come to this holy place to walk those 500 miles, can you share real briefly just a little historical context?
Well, I think that Bishop Don is excellent at that. And I think that one of the most profound things, and I know that you're going to have a break here, so I'm going to try and just pitch it out before the break. The most amazing thing that I learned initially when I was trying to research, because I really, all that I knew about the community and myself personally was that people really enjoyed it. I had no idea on the depths of the history that it was the footsteps of St. James and that he was evangelizing in Spain to tell people about the love of God, about Jesus. And here we are in this modern day, really called to do the same thing. And so I didn't know much about St. James, but Our Lady appeared to him in Zaragoza. And in the history of the world, it was the first apparition of Our Lady. And she said to him, "Don't give up, James. Keep on keeping on." And that had a profound impact on me before we even started, you know, putting together the entire pre-production. And it was Our Lady who would wake me up in the night. And it's her that I think gives us, takes our hand and gives us the inspiration to keep on keeping on, to be whoever it is that God made us to be every single day.
And that is award-winning composer, producer, and director Erin Berghaus. She is the director of a new documentary on the way of St. James, Santiago, the Camino Within. We're going to take a short break as we continue my conversation with Erin Berghaus. Stay with us. There is much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. And now we continue with the second part of my conversation with producer and the director of Santiago, the Camino Within, the international award-winning composer and producer, Erin Berghaus. I am so inspired. In fact, I got to tell you, full disclosure, my wife has already started talking about the possibility of us at some point, when my Relevant Radio days are totally over, because in order to do this, it takes quite a commitment and time, but to actually do the journey and do the 500 miles in Spain of the Camino. So we're actually talking about it.
Wonderful.
We've actually talked about it.
Your life really will be changed. It's hard to. We noticed not too long after we were on the ground that there was just absolutely no way to convey the immense holiness and the beauty of the journey of the Camino in written word. We couldn't just, you know, write about it. In fact, even as a songwriter, I thought, how could we even in a simple song convey this immense beauty and holiness? And it was really only our only hope of trying to convey the immense beauty is by all the art that God gives us. You know, the best cinematography that we could put together, the original music, the holiness of a very holy priest and the grace of God to just get a glimpse of the beauty that once you're there, it will change your life. I would encourage you to take that break and get there and be able to go and experience that, because it will deepen your relationship with God. It will clarify his call for your life.
Real quick, I love music and the power of music, and obviously the music in your film, En el Camino, is so powerful. Tell us about writing, composing this music, how the inspiration came to you to develop the soundtrack.
Well, thank you for that. Those kind words. Music really is the core of my soul, and so it really God began. For me as a songwriter. And so every film, really, in the center of every film that we have ever had, music is the bed. It's the foundation. It's the core. It's such an amazing art that God has given us to transcend the mind and speak to the heart through music. And then in regards to Santiago, I mean, it was just a great blessing to get to a place, you know, from deep prayer, months and months of deep prayer, to get to know St. James, to love him. And then I think that by God's grace that flows, you know, from your soul as an artist. And then as only God can do, then to meet other artists across the world, during COVID, who participated as composers and amazing, just amazing, beautiful musicians. It was just a gift, really, for all of us.
Well, Aaron, Mike is joining us this morning from Naperville, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Mike, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Aaron Berghaus.
Good morning. Yeah, I actually made the Camino in May with one of your contributors, Father Burke Masters. So many aspects of what she's saying is just so true. We had mass every day along the mountainside. People from five countries joined us. People from different religions joined us. It's an amazing place, and I call it a 500-mile safe space because so many women make that trek alone, and it's completely safe for the whole 500 miles. It's really a very amazing spiritual journey.
Well, Mike, I really appreciate you sharing that with us. I'm just curious, how long did it take you to train and to get your body ready to go the distance?
For all those that are maybe hesitant, I did 200 miles. Father Burke did the 500. But I have a fake ankle and four surgeries on my other knee. If I can make it, anybody can make it.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. How inspiring.
Yeah.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Mike. Aaron, this is awesome.
Yeah, that is. Congratulations, Mike. I mean, that is just to overcome the challenges of our physical weakness to get to a place spiritually that we can really. It's hard to describe, really, the alignment between the physical exertion, the exhaustion, and how that propels you spiritually, you know, to remove ourselves from all of the noise that we have in our life. It's everywhere. And to be able to do that physical along with the spiritual, I do believe it's really, it's like the fuel that sets you into that Duke and Altum, into that spiral, into the depths of your soul. Because our soul is just yearning, just wanting to hear God, wanting to hear the saints. And the saints are just waiting for us, you know, to ask them to help us. So it's so great to meet a Camino clubber, although I do feel I was a little bit of a pretender because, you know, we had vans and cameras. but I dream, like your wife, John, I dream of taking my husband and my children and my grandchildren, because if I could do anything in my life, I would just love to be able to bring them on the Camino for them. One thing that I wanted to just also touch on is, like Mike said, all of the different people from all over the world, different countries, and how it is that God calls them to be there, and how then once we arrive, how we unite. It's a phenomenal, very holy pilgrimage.
Well, Aaron, I know that that you have a big event, just one night only in theaters, of the showing of this powerful film, Santiago the Camino Within. It's coming up on March 28th. That's a Tuesday. Can you tell us a little bit about the event and how people can get tickets?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. I mean, it's a miracle. We're a small nonprofit in Wisconsin, and by God's grace, we hit the big screen. So we'll be in 869 theaters across the United States, but we need your help. In order to have faith-based films in our theaters, we have to be able to have people who come to watch them. So Fathom Events have picked up the film to distribute it to the theaters all over the United States, a number of theaters in the state of Wisconsin. But we are hoping that you can partner with us and that you can come to watch the Camino, that you can enter into the journey yourself, and that we can work together to support faith-based films in the theaters across the United States.
And I love the fact that you have it in both English and Spanish, especially when you consider that 40% of the American Catholic Church is Latino. So you're reaching a potential big audience across those 869 theaters.
Thank you so much. It meant a lot to us. I mean, Santiago from Spain, to have it in Spanish, and for us to be able to do that was, again, only through God's grace.
Well, there's no question about it that people will be really moved and inspired by this film. Real quick, where can they go, again, for much more information?
Yeah, so you'll notice it on Fathom Events, which so all of the AMC theaters in the state If this is outside of Wisconsin in your own state, you can come to ahavaproductions.com. It's A-H-A-V as in Victor A, ahavaproductions.com. That'll take you right to where you can purchase tickets. You can come with your family. You can bring your parish. You can bring a friend. But we are so grateful for any support so that we can link hearts together to evangelize and serve God.
And that was international award-winning composer and producer Aaron Berghaus, the producer and director of Santiago, The Camino Within. This looks like it's going to be an absolutely fantastic film. Again, you can go to ahavaproductions.com. That's ahavaproductions.com to purchase tickets for tonight's one-day showing of Santiago, The Camino Within, showing in select theaters nationwide all across our country. In fact, we had Bishop Donald Hying on with us yesterday. He narrates the film. So this is going to be a beautiful and a very powerful and inspirational film. As always, it is now time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today called Do You Build Bridges or Fences? Once upon a time, two brothers who lived on adjoining farms fell into conflict. It was the first serious rift in 40 years of farming side by side, sharing machinery, trading labor and goods as needed without conflict. Then the long collaboration fell apart. It began with a small misunderstanding and it grew into a major difference. Finally, it exploded into an exchange of bitter words followed by weeks of silence. One morning there was a knock on the older brother's door. He opened it to find a man with a carpenter's toolbox. "I'm looking for a few days' work," he said. "Perhaps you would have a few small jobs here and there I could help with." "Yes," said the older brother, "I do have a job for you. Look across the creek at that farm. That's my neighbor. In fact, it's my younger brother. Last week, there was a meadow between us that he took his bulldozer to the river levee, and now there's a creek between us. Well, he may have done this to spite me, but I'll do him one better. See that pile of lumber by the barn? I want you to build me a fence, an 8-foot fence, so I won't need to see his place or his face anymore." The carpenter said, "I think I understand the situation. Show me the nails and post hole digger, and I'll be able to do a job that pleases you." The older brother had to go to town, so he helped the carpenter get the materials ready, and then he was off for the day. The carpenter worked hard all that day, measuring, sawing, nailing. About sunset, when the farmer returned, the carpenter had just finished his job. The farmer's eyes opened wide. His jaw dropped. There was no fence at all. It was a bridge. A bridge stretching from one side of the creek to the other. A fine piece of work. Handrails and all. And the neighbor, his younger brother, was coming toward him, his arms outstretched. "You're quite a fellow to build this bridge after all I've said and done." The two brothers stood at the end of the bridge, then they met in the middle, taking each other's hand. They turned to see the carpenter hoist his toolbox onto his shoulder. "No, wait, stay a few days. I've got a lot of other projects for you," said the older brother. "I'd love to stay on," said the carpenter, "but I have many more bridges to build." From Colossians 3:13, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. And of course, you can always listen to any one of Glenn's Story Corners. All you have to do is go to our podcast at relevantradio.com. Now, coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will share some love stories, having met several listeners on the road this weekend. And at 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern, former Duke head coach, head basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, will join us to talk about his legendary Hall of Fame career, the importance of his Catholic faith in coaching, and serving as a mentor to countless young men over the years. You're not going to want to miss this one, so stay with us. There's much more to come on this Tuesday in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.